The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Thursday, June 27, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. We want to welcome all of our viewers and listeners, wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening from. Welcome to tonight's program. Listen, do me a favor, as always, please hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification so that you can keep up with all of our programs here on YouTube, Rumble, wherever you're watching or wherever you're viewing from. Again, help us get the word out. And you can do that simply by hitting that like button, that share button, and that bell notification, or sharing the podcast, whatever the case may be. We got a lot to cover tonight. It looks like a lot of things are lining up for what many historians, experts, political figures, military figures, and all are saying is the very brink of World War III. We're going to cover some stuff tonight. We've got breaking news. We've got a lot of stuff developing. Before we get started, let me give you an opening verse of scripture. This is going to be a very familiar passage. It's again, this is Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 through 8, when Jesus was asked, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He told his disciples, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And all of these are the beginning of sorrows. And guys, I'm going to tell you, it's almost like we've covered every one of these things. Only thing we've not covered this week alone is earthquakes. So today we've talked about famines, we've talked about wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and today we're going to cover the former part of this, which is the nation against nation, and then, or rather it'd be kingdom against kingdom if you want to be technical here, and then I'm going to show you the aspect of pestilences. And as I said at the beginning or the introduction of this program tonight, it seems like things are lining up for what many are saying is World War III. We've got these coalitions that are coming together. We're going to cover that tonight. We talked a little bit about this at the beginning of this week, and we're going to kind of retouch on that tonight because we've got some new information coming out that we want to share with you tonight. And then you've got historians, top historians, are claiming that we are now too late. And we've crossed that Rubicon, and we're too late to prevent World War III amid global tensions. In fact, one of Britain's most renowned military historians, Richard Overy, has come out recently and warned that it's too late. We have gone too far, and it's too late to stop World War III. The historian claims that Russia's invasion of Ukraine provoked conflict with Western countries unseen since the Cold War era, and now it's inevitable, and it seems that it's only going to get worse. Russian President Vladimir Putin continues to hint at deploying nuclear arms, and NATO leaders are discussing the potential development of soldiers in Ukraine. Meanwhile, China is continuing with persistent threats of military operations against Taiwan, while Israel continues to clash with Hamas in the Middle East and could eventually incite a full-blown confrontation with Iran. And again, we're going to cover a lot of this in detail, so I want you to stick with this as we go over this. According to The Telegraph, historian Richard Overy writes about the high risk of worldwide military strife due to the escalating global tensions. He suggests that the aggression is bound to occur thanks to the leaders dominating Russia, China, and other powerhouses. Again, this is these coalitions that are forming, by the way. All of this is a clear sign that warfare still has a place in our future. He goes on to say that and a lot of this lies in the power lust exhibited by both past and contemporary global leaders. The historian points out that history tells us that these individuals ruling these nations drove themselves to become great conquerors. These are individuals whose raw ambition mobilized support from their people for unlimited conquest, such as Alexander the Great, Napoleon. He even names Hitler. This is hubristic power based on arrogant self-belief, and it usually evaporates with the death or defeat of that particular leader. But as long as they continue to lead and there are people willing to follow, war is unlimited and destructive on a vast scale. This is the most dangerous and unpredictable explanation for the persistence of warfare. And it covers the whole historical record. It is one of the surest indications that war still has a future as well as a long past. What this historian is pointing out and highlighting here, along with other historians that are echoing the same warning, is that everything is lining up just like history did, in which it proceeded with a global war. Here's another headline I want to show you. This is from NBC News. Putin is revising Russia's nuclear doctrine due to, quote, current realities. The change could reduce the decision-making time required to use nuclear weapons. The report indicates that Russia, who is considered to be the largest nuclear power, has begun updating its nuclear doctrine, according to the Kremlin, citing an earlier statement by President Vladimir Putin himself. Quote, President Putin has said that work is underway to bring the doctrine into line with current realities. A senior member of the Russian parliament stated recently that Moscow could reduce the decision-making time stipulated in official policy for the use of nuclear weapons if it believes that threats are increasing. Now, I want to say that again, because this is all going to come into play with this program tonight. According to the Russian parliament, Putin has saw fit that this nuclear doctrine needs to be updated in order to, and I quote, to be brought to current realities. And again, this report indicates that it would reduce the decision-making time stipulated in official policy for the nuclear weapons usage if Russia believes that threats are increasing. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Putin has already threatened the U.S., and we're going to show you reports on that in just a second. He's threatened South Korea. He's threatened Britain. He is threatening NATO. He's threatened Ukraine, and he's carried out attacks against Ukraine. So this is no longer, we're moving from threats to promises at this point. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, yeah, you know, this is a bunch of hot air. You know, he's all bark. He's no bite. He's not going to do anything. But guys, again, I want to point some stuff out to you. There is coalitions forming. This is not just Russia going solo here. Now, just as we pointed out earlier this week, North Korea has united with Russia. They've come into alignment with them. They formed a military pact. Now, look at this new headline. North Korea troops could soon join Putin's invasion of Ukraine under a new pact with Russia. Experts are warning that Kim Jong-un has welcomed this alignment. They have welcomed, they're welcomed with open arms Putin's, his agenda, his mission statement, his vision for what he wants to accomplish. So this is very concerning. Again, troops from North Korea could join the invasion of Ukraine under a new pact with Russia. The chilling prospect of waves of Kim Jong-un's military flooding into the battered nation emerged after the dictator signed a defense agreement with Putin in North Korea this past week. The Russian president was on a two-day state visit to North Korea, where he was greeted enthusiastically by tens of thousands of well-wishers. During events, the two leaders embraced one another, according to North Korea state media. They shared the innermost thoughts as they were driven to the state guest house there in North Korea. Analysts agree that the arrival of thousands of Kim soldiers on Russia's front line would be a, quote, game changer in the conflict, significantly strengthening the Kremlin's hand. North Korea is also expected to supply Russia with a further 5 million ammunition rounds, having already supplied as much in recent months. Now look at this. For all you folks that like Bible prophecy, this should raise the hair on the back of your head, on the back of your neck, rather. Moscow expects to sign a new cooperation pact with Iran in the very near future. Again, let me read that again. I want you to think about A future war of Gog Magog, Ezekiel 38:39, which, by the way, a lot of scholars interpret Magog as referring to regions that include parts of modern-day Russia. Also involved in that war, you go back, you read Ezekiel 38:39, Gog Magog war. The two main nations that are spearheading this coalition to invade Israel is Russia and Persia, which is modern day Iran. In Ezekiel 38:5, Persia is directly mentioned as one of the allies in this coalition. Again, this is the ancient name for Iran, making its inclusion in the alliance more directly undeniable. And again, the passage of Ezekiel 38 and 39 tells us a coalition of nations will gather together to come against Israel in the latter days. Again, Russia, Iran, and other nations such as Turkey and Lebanon and others as well. And here we have this. This is from Reuters. Russia expects to sign a new agreement on a comprehensive cooperation with Iran, biblical Persia, in the very near future. So it's amazing to me, guys, when we do these segments, and we talk about these things and we go over these headlines, one of the arguments we always get is, this has happened for thousands of years. We've always had wars. We've always had conflicts. We've always had earthquakes. We've always had pestilence. We've always had famines, and we've this, and we've always had that. But again, this displays ignorance of the Bible, because let me go back to Matthew 24. I'm going to show you something. Again, I don't know why this is always overlooked, but it is. One of the keys here, there's two keys in the Gospel of Matthew. One of these I'm highlighting here in this passage from Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. And it's specifically verse 8. God, the Lord Jesus Christ says, all these what? Again, wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, all these things. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. These are just the beginning. They're going to increase in magnitude. They're going to increase in intensity. That's one clue here. The other one, guys, is the fact that you read on and Jesus refers to Israel as the fig tree. And he says, behold the fig tree. When it begins to blossom, you'll know that summer is near. Now, what does that mean? It means when all of the prophecies that has been foretold by the Old Testament prophets concerning the nation of Israel, they'd be reborn as a nation, the capital of Jerusalem be reinstated to Israel, they would begin to blossom again, they'd begin to flourish again, they would come back from the brink of extinction, all of these things, there would be a mass exodus of the people of Israel, the Jews, that would come back to their homeland. All of these things, guys, have been fulfilled. Okay? So what does that mean, Brother Ricky? What it means is the fig tree is blooming, meaning that summer is near and it's even at the door. That's why we always tell you, Luke 21:28, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads. Why? Because your redemption is drawing near. So again, for someone to get on here and say, well, this has always happened, this is nothing new, all of this stuff, it's just ignorance of the Bible. So we see here where Putin and Russia is aligning with North Korea. They're aligning with China. They're aligning with Syria. They're aligning with these nations. Iran, they're lining up with these nations, and this is all stepping stones to get us to the main attraction, to get us to the main event. So this is exciting. I know people are saying, well, how's this exciting? Again, it's only exciting to those who know their Bible. They know prophecy. Listen, if you're on the wrong side of the tracks and you're not right with God and you're not serving God, then of course this is going to seem like something that is not intriguing to you. It's not exciting to you, because Paul said, this is the blessed hope that we have, that we know, come on, that our Lord and Savior is coming. And he gave us signs when they asked him, Lord, what would be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? He didn't blow them off. He didn't write them off and say, you know, you don't need to know this. Don't talk about this. This is not what we're going to talk about here. No, he said here, and he gave them a whole list. He gave them an entire message or a sermon on, okay, you need to look for this, you need to watch for this, you need to pay attention to this. And guys, that's what watchmen do, like myself. We take the words of Christ, we take the words of the prophets, we take these things, we put them together for you, and we give you the big picture and the entirety of everything that's going on so that you can observe these things and know the times and seasons in which we're in. So again, let me recap this. The Bible makes it clear, guys, that in the last days, now I can tell you, Ezekiel 38, 39 mentions coalitions of nations coming together against Israel. Psalms chapter 83 talks about a coalition of nations that will come against Israel. The book of Revelation talks about 10 kingdoms or 10 kings that will form a coalition in which they will be ruled and reigned by the Antichrist. He comes in, he takes power over them, he uproots three of them, and the book of Daniel tells you three of the 10. It tells you it's Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia, and the Antichrist is the little horn that comes up and emerges out of these 10 kings. Now that's a clue right there. If you're paying attention, listen, we can't have an Antichrist unless there is first a coalition of 10 nations. Think about that. So somewhere down, is it going to be the European Union? What's it going to be? I don't know. I'm just telling you that there's got to come 10 toes that Nebuchadnezzar saw, that Daniel saw, and that John saw. Daniel called them 10 toes. John called them 10 nations or 10 horns. John called them 10 kings. Okay. So you got different language, but they're all describing the same event. So in order for the little horn or the Antichrist to rise up among the 10 already had to be in place. So this is why, you know, when you see what's going on here, you've got to know where we're going. These are the road signs and the road markers that's leading us to, again, the main attraction. Now, here's a report. South Korea got wind of North Korea now supporting Russia. And so, you know, what's South Korea do? How do they respond? Well, we're going to support Ukraine. And as a result of that, now Putin is threatening South Korea. Putin warned South Korea that it would be making a big mistake if it decides to arm Ukraine in a war against Russia. His comments come after they announced that they are considering such a possibility in response to Russia and North Korea's new pact to help each other in the event of, quote, aggression against either country. Quote, Moscow will make decisions which are unlikely to please the current leadership of South Korea if South Korea decides to supply arms to Putin. And to Kyiv told, again, this is Putin's telling reporters on Thursday. The Russian leader was speaking in Vietnam shortly after his visit North Korea, and again, where he signed a mutual defense agreement with North Korea and Kim Jong-un. Putin also warned that Russia is willing to arm North Korea if the U.S. and its allies continue supplying Ukraine with weapons. Now, listen to this. This is a chilling statement. I'm going to pull this up so you can read this with me. We'll read this together. Here it is. This is from Putin. Quote, those who supply these weapons believe that they are not at war with us. I said, including in, and again, this is North Korea, that we then reserve the right to supply weapons to other regions of the world. Here's another headline. Putin ally threatens the U.S. will burn in a, quote, earthly fire. Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev warned on Sunday that the U.S. will burn in an earthly fire following a missile attack on Sevastopol, I believe that's how you pronounce it, by Ukrainian troops. And this was recent, where the Kremlin placed blame on the U.S. for a Ukrainian attack on the Russian annexed Crimean Peninsula, claiming that the U.S. supplied these missiles that were used. The strike left at least 5 dead and over 100 injured. And again, this comes also as Putin has warned the United States to brace itself for retaliation from Russia in regards to what just transpired and what took place. So I want to stop here. So right now we're talking about what's going on, what's escalating with Russia, with and their alliance that they're forming with Persia and North Korea, and they're already in alignment with Syria. We know that for a fact. So you have this going on here, and I would even say, I would venture to say China is probably falls into this category as well. So you've got this going on with the whole Ukraine mess that the U.S. continues to funnel out money to, continue to supply weapons to, and now we're getting pulled into this. They've already reinforced a mandatory draft for 18 to 26-year-old men and women. We've covered that. We've covered that in another topic as well. So you got this front going on here. Then I want to shift gears and go to the Middle East. I want to show you some latest developments here that's going on there that we think that you need to know about here. Let's pull this article up. This is from DNYUZ. Israel is reportedly readying their troops for a potential escalation in Lebanon. Israel's prime minister met with military commanders recently amid escalating tensions with Hezbollah forces in Lebanon and mounting concerns from world leaders that a wider war could break out. It's interesting. A wider war could break out. Benjamin Netanyahu posted a video on social media during his visit of him stating that Israeli forces were, quote, determined and committed to the mission of achieving victory and no less. Now, of course, the UN is so greatly concerned about this that, listen to this, quote, the UN warns of a catastrophic threat to region if Israel and Hezbollah fighting continues to escalate. The UN on Tuesday expressed serious concerns about the risk of an escalation in the fight between Israel and Hezbollah, warning that not only would it cause even more suffering and devastation to the people of Lebanon and Israel, but also, quote, more potentially catastrophic consequences for the region. One of the UN special coordinator for the Middle East urged both sides to take urgent, immediate steps to de-escalate the situation. Tensions along the border between Israel and Lebanon continue to escalate. Cross-border exchanges of fire have increased in recent weeks, prompting a UN secretary to warn that the risk of the conflict spreading to the wider region is real and must be avoided. Tor Winslin, who is the UN special coordinator for the Middle East, stated that he was, quote, deeply troubled by continuing Israeli settlement expansion in the occupied West Bank. Wow, listen to that verbiage. Including East Jerusalem, and reiterated that all settlements have, quote, no legal validity and are in flagrant violation of intentional law. He called on Israel to cease all such activity immediately. Guys, not only do I want to read this again, I want to pull this up and I want to highlight this. Why? Because I'm going to show you how I believe this is all going to play a role in the future war and conflicts that we read about that are prophesied. And it's no secret, guys, the UN is very anti-Israel. That's no secret. That's not something that it's been said in the dark. This is something that's openly known for anybody that's kept up with this. They watch the news. They've studied this. They know that the majority of the United Nations is very anti-Israel. And I believe this statement right here exemplifies that tremendously. And again, Winslin said he is, quote, deeply troubled by continuing Israeli settlement expansion occupied. He called it the occupied West Bank, including East Jerusalem. By the way, that's where the Wailing Wall is. That's where the Holy Sepulcher is. That's where the tomb of Jesus is. All that is on the east side of Jerusalem. And he went and reiterated that all settlements have no legal validity and are in flagrant violation of international law. And he called on Israel to cease all such activity immediately. Why is this significant? It's significant because when you read Zechariah 12, remember, Jerusalem will become a cup of drunkenness to all nations. They will become a stumbling block for those who try to upheave them. Joel chapter 3 says the nations of the world will rise against Israel in the last days, and they will attempt to divide them. And because of this, God will hold them in judgment. They will be brought down into a location in the book of Revelation called the Valley of Megiddo, and they will be judged there through a major war called Armageddon. Now, I have said for a long time that it appears when you go to Ezekiel chapter 38, guys, this conflict that a lot of people said, well, it's right around the corner. I don't believe that. I don't believe this is something that's going to happen next week or next month. And the reason why I've said that is because when you read Ezekiel 38, it tells you that this war will take place in the latter years of Jerusalem, in the latter days. It will take place when Israel is dwelling without walls, in safety, no bars, no gates. This is not, guys, go and look at Israel right now. They're not in a place of no gates, no bars, no walls, and safety, okay? Number two, it tells you that this coalition of nations, including Russia and Persia, God himself will turn them around by putting hooks in their jaws. Now think about this, guys. Let's use some logic here. If I am walking to the left, And you intend for me to go to the right, and the only way you can get my attention to go right is that you have to put a hook in my jaw and pull me back, turn me around, it implies that I'm going in the other direction. So here's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to be confusing here. I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. To me, it appears that there is going to be a series of conflicts, wars, military invasions, escalations, and I believe it's going to intensify to the point where there's going to be coalitions coming together. Now, this is where I believe Psalm 83 comes into play, and I know there is people out there that tell you that Psalm 83 has already been fulfilled. And I'm not one of them that believe that. I believe that this is a future event that is not transpired. I don't believe it took place in 1973, whenever Jerusalem won the Six-Day War against those nations, because there's some nations here that are mentioned that was not mentioned in that Six-Day War. Let me pull this up. The psalmist says that, behold, the enemies of Israel will make atonement. I'm in Psalm 83, verse 3, 2. They will rise up against those who hate Israel. They will take crafty counsel against the Jewish people, and they will consult together against the sheltered ones. Notice it says sheltered ones. They're sheltered. Okay? Now, this implies to me that this, I believe, will transpire sooner than Ezekiel 38. I believe this war has to happen before Ezekiel 38, 39. Now, notice the difference here. The war of God of Psalm 83 mentions that they will come together against sheltered ones. Well, if you go over to Ezekiel 38, let me show you this. It will be against those brought back from the sword and gathered from many mountains of Israel. Again, I told you that's been fulfilled, where the people of Israel being brought to their homeland. But watch this, which had long been desolate, they were brought out from the nations. And now, present tense of the day of this war, of the time of that war, now all of them dwell safely. You see this? All right, now let's read on here. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. Okay, so y'all see the difference here? Psalm 83, a coalition of nations come against Israel, and the Bible refers to them as sheltered ones. And then you go to Ezekiel 38, war of Gog Magog war, and it's talking about those dwelling in safety without walls, neither bars nor gates. So again, it's my opinion that Psalm 83 has to transpire before Ezekiel 38, 39. Now look at the agenda in verse 4, Psalm 83, 4, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. They've consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. And it names these nations. Okay, Syria is mentioned, and I'm going to go through all these, but one of these is Syria. Now, what's interesting about Syria, Syria is mentioned in the Psalm 83 war, but Syria is absent from the Gog-Magog war. So the only thing I could think of that fits, that fills in the blank there is the fulfillment of Isaiah 17, which is where Damascus becomes a ruinous heap. So watch this. Here's what I'm trying to say here. If you're still following me, there's going to be wars, conflicts. There's going to be all these things break out. It's going to get so bad that these nations will get pulled into it. I believe Syria is going to, the Damascus will be destroyed, and the United Nations, are you listening? I'm still right on track, guys. The United Nations will demand, they will demand some type of treaty. They will demand a peace treaty. They will demand ceasefires. They will demand all of these things, and they will force Israel's hand. They will force them, watch this, to give up the gates, to lower their defenses, to lower their bars. Now, how that's going to happen, we can speculate. There will be a series of conflicts that will get so bad that will be forced on them. There will be a false sense of peace and security and peace and safety. Remember that. That's in 1 Thessalonians. Okay, then you go to Daniel 9:27. The Antichrist comes along and he confirms a covenant of 7 years with many. Now, these are many nations with the nation of Israel. So I know that's a lot to take in, guys. But you know, I had to cover this today. You know why? Because again, this is all, everything you're seeing right here, this has all got to happen. This has got to lead us up to the main attractions. So I want to shift gears now, and I'm going to talk about pestilence for the next 20 minutes. Okay. Cause these are ramping up as well. I mean, in case you've not paid attention to the news lately, the pestilences are ramping up again. Global health authorities are pressing the panic button as a strain of mpox that 10 times deadlier begins spreading rapidly. What in the world is this about? According to a recent report, a deadly new strain of monkeypox that is killing children and causing miscarriages is causing a tremendous amount of fear among global health authorities. Here we go. We're being told that this strain is 10 times deadlier than the one that inflicted people in more than 100 different countries 2 years ago back in 2022. This new strand is also spreading much easier. The World Health Organization is sounding the alarm about what could actually occur if there is a full-blown global outbreak of this new strain. And some experts are so concerned because it may already be too late to prevent this from happening. How about that? Boy, isn't the timing of this impeccable? The dramatic surges of cases that we are currently witnessing in the Democratic Republic of Congo has officials at the World Health Organization extremely concerned. Quote, the spread of mpox in Africa needs to be addressed urgently, according to the WHO recently, as scientists warned separately of a dangerous strain in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, the report says that out of 384 people that the monkeypox has killed in the Democratic Republic of Congo so far this year, over 60% of them have been children. That's terrifying. There remain many important unknowns. I'm going to say that again. There remains many important unknowns about the new strain. Now, this is from Yahoo News. This is not from some dude's blog in his basement somewhere. I'm going to read this to you. Again, I'm relaying the information to you. You do what you want with it. Don't shoot the messenger, okay? Quote, these significant differences from previous mpox strains are, quote, here it is, incredibly worrying. Now, who is saying this? These are people from the World Health Organization. You need to be paying attention to this. Why? Because did we learn anything in 2019, 2020? That's all I'm going to say. The extreme cases turning up at hospitals are likely the, quote, tip of the iceberg. I mean, they're telling us right out, guys, that the worst is yet to come because many patients likely have less severe symptoms. Now, look at this statement right here is chilling. There remain many important unknowns about the new strain. Lang cautioned, comparing this current stage of investigation of this new strain of mpox to the early days of the womp-womp virus. I mean, hello, they're flat out telling you some stuff that we need to be paying attention to. While the new strain has not been officially reported outside of the DR Congo, it may have already spread to neighboring nations. There is definitely the opportunity for this to get on an airplane, Lang said, calling on the world to act quickly to contain the outbreak. Well, how are we going to contain this outbreak? Oh, we could speculate, couldn't we? Isn't it interesting that we are, July, August, September, October? We're 5 months from a major U.S. election, and we're hearing this stuff. That's all I'm going to say about that. Meanwhile, in Europe, alarm bells are sounding over what's called vole fever, V-O-L-E, vole fever. Look at this headline. I did not make this up, guys. This is from the U.S. Sun. This vole fever can trigger Ebola-like bleeding virus, and it is spreading in parts of Europe. Now, look, this is what's called a potentially lethal virus that has the ability to jump from rodents to humans and could trigger Ebola-like bleeding, and it is currently, quote, spreading across Northern Europe. Researchers have discovered that rodents in Sweden are carrying a pathogen that can jump to humans and turn into hemorrhagic fever. I believe that's how you pronounce that. Cases of the illness are being spotted hundreds of miles from where health officials typically see this virus, causing, here it is, concern among scientists. Anybody catching the drift here? The common denominator? Concern, worry, fear. They want us to be in concern, worry, and fear. Oh, I come by today. They tell you that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Be not ignorant of Satan's devices. My friends, you got to know we're in a particular season. We're in election season. Shame on us. Listen, you fool us once, shame on us. Fool us again, shame on you. But again, are we going to be fooled again? Are people going to get fooled again? Please don't answer that question. I may be disappointed. This vole fever is considered to be a rare illness that has the potential to cause this type of fever that you would generally see in Ebola cases. These fevers are a group of diseases caused by different viruses that can be severe and life-threatening, including yellow fever, the Ebola virus, and Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever. Doctors were, quote, baffled to spot a case of vole fever so far south in the country, more than 500 kilometers south from where the disease had previously been spotted. Another case was spotted in 2020 in Sweden. Here's another article. This is from Texas. Texas man catches anthrax after eating contaminated lamb meat in a case that, here it is, shocks doctors. A man in Texas was hospitalized with anthrax in what they're called an unusual case after butchering a dead lamb and cooking its meat. The individual, who was in his 50s, said the animal had been healthy on his ranch but died suddenly, prompting him to prepare the meat and eat it with two other people. A week later, however, he was admitted to the hospital suffering from blistering, swelling, and rotting black skin on his right arm. Tests confirmed he was infected with anthrax, which is a rare bacterial infection that kills up to 1 in 2 people it infects. And here's a picture, guys, of what that looks like on an individual. The other two individuals who ate the meat did not become unwell, however, likely because the heat from cooking the meat had killed the bacteria. The CDC warns of increased dengue fever risk in the United States. Again, it's one thing after another, isn't it? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warned clinicians, health authorities, and the public Tuesday about an increased risk for dengue virus infections in the U.S. because of the record-breaking global incidence of the mosquito-borne viral disease. In the first 6 months of 2024, countries in America have reported more than 9.7 million dengue cases, twice as many as in all of 2023. So we've got all, let's do a recap on this. You've got bird flu that's continuing to expand. It's not going away. They've kind of not talked about this as much, but it doesn't mean it's going away. I guarantee you it'll pop just like a jack in a box. You push it back down and then when the media decides that it's, the suffice time to do it, they'll crank that handle and boom, out comes this narrative again. So you're going to see that. Don't think it's gone away because it will surface again. It will pop up. So you've got bird flu. You've got this new form of mpox that's exploding, that the World Health Organization is freaking out, losing their minds over. The CDC is worried about it. They're warning about dengue fever. They're warning about tick-borne viruses. They're worrying about an Ebola-like virus that's popping up in the EU. People are eating, things are getting anthrax. What is going on? Again, Matthew 24, Jesus said there will be pestilences in various places. So what I'm saying here, and what I'm trying to relate to you, and what I'm trying to relate to you, is that all of these things are signs and indications that the birth pangs of the Messiah are intensifying, they're increasing, and we're getting closer and closer to the end of the age and the return of the Son of Man. And as always, I leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things come in the past, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you're watching the visual, this is our app. Please download our free app. You can get it on Apple. You can get it on Android, depending on your device. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. This is going to keep you updated and informed with every headline, every podcast. Everything's going to be right at your fingertips. For you guys who've had our app, you probably noticed that you're not getting push notifications. We addressed this yesterday. We'll address it again. We are hoping our tech department is working on this. This is something to do. It's not even on our end. It's got to do something to do with the software and the app. On both Android and Apple, we're working to get that resolved, hopefully by the end of this week. So you'll be getting those notifications back again. But again, go to your Play Store, Apple, Android. If you're watching the broadcast of this, in the description of this video, there's a link. It says download our free app. If you'll click on that link, you can get your app today. And this is how you can keep up with our ministry. And of course, guys, if this ministry blesses you, informs you, equips you, edifies you, all of the above, I want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way. Or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out right there on your screen. And by the way, I left this out, but you can go to the main website. If you don't have our app, go to the main website. You can scroll down to where it says donate and click, and there's many different ways. PayPal, Venmo, Cash App. You can give by credit card. Or again, you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, guys, thank you for stopping in tonight and being part of I've realized tonight there's the debate, the presidential debate. So I'm hoping that I expect it's going to be a little bit less people coming on tonight, but just, you know, go back, watch the replay of this. I believe you'll be blessed by the information that we're giving you tonight. Also, for you guys who love equipping and encouraging and teaching messages, we're working on them. We're going to be going into the studio, recording some of them. So be looking for those. We will be putting them out on our YouTube channel, on our app, on Rumble, all these places as well. So you'll get the headlines, the viewpoint segments, which is this, and then we'll also do our regular equipping and teaching messages as well. So we've got a lot going on, and we want to get you right up to date with everything that's going on. So we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for your prayers, your support, and all of that. And listen, we will be back tomorrow on Friday, June 28th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great program. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.